Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for today's sermon is today's gospel, and I'm taking this from the New King James Version, which kind of, when it gets to the point where it says Jesus rebuked them, it expands it and says what he had to say. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So far the text. Every once in a while I'll do something that turns out to be dumb, and I say to myself, why didn't I see that that was going to happen? It happened to me a couple days ago. The faucet was leaking or dripping a little bit, kind of annoying in the kitchen, so I fixed it. And as I was looking at the spigot, you know, it's one of those deals where the front can come out so you can spray things and it pops back in. And when I saw the face of that, where the water came out, it was all full of gunk, okay? And if you don't clean that a lot, just go home and look. It's probably disgusting, okay? And all this kind of crud on there, and I figured, okay, well, I might as well clean that up. And so I got some dishwashing soap on there and kind of a cleaning brush, and I brushed it off, and it was all clean. And then, of course, I rinsed it, which meant I turned the water on, and it blasted me right in the eyes with soapy water. Now, it was just an automatic reflex that once you wash something, you got to rinse it off. And I said to myself, how couldn't I see that was going to happen? Well, I kind of have the same thing when it comes to these disciples, in particular James and John, but really all of them. Leading up to chapter 9, everything's kind of going relatively smoothly for them. Things are normal in the sense that, well, they're not that faithful, but they're kind of faithful, and they don't do everything wrong. They do a few things right. They ask a few good questions. They seem to be learning a few things. And just when everything seems to be fairly normal, then we have this text where James and John are a little peeved because, you know, they have to go to a different village. And they want to call down fire from heaven to completely destroy, burn to death every man, woman, and child in this town. And they say, like Elijah did. When did Elijah ever do that? Okay. Now, that's kind of a big leap forward that these guys have taken. And I had to say to myself, how in the world did they get to this point? Well, when I read the scriptures, and especially everything leading up to this, it seems like the disciples, as soon as the transfiguration is over, start to get kind of mean. Like Jesus is transfigured and he comes down the mountain and the disciples are trying to cast a demon out of a kid and they can't do it. And they get all upset and frustrated and they start arguing with all the religious leaders. Right after that, it says, the disciples start arguing with each other about who's the greatest. And then right after that, someone is casting demons out in Jesus' name, and they stop them. So it's all just self-service and self-interest when it comes to the disciples, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And Jesus confronts them on all these things. So after that first part where they're arguing with you and can't cast the demon out, Jesus says, look, I came as a servant. I came to die. You have to serve. With the arguing about who's the greatest, Jesus brings a child before them and says, you must receive a child like this. In other words, humble yourself for a change. Stop thinking about yourself all the time. And then finally, when they refused somebody the power, stop allowing them to cast out demons in Jesus' name, Jesus is like, what's wrong with you? If they're not against us, they're for us. Stop thinking about yourself and your authority and your power and think about the people who are being healed. So time and time again, he confronts them on this. And the disciples have no idea what he's talking about. And it's almost like they just repeatedly just keep blasting themselves in the eye with soapy water. And don't realize why it hurts so bad and why Jesus is so upset. And when I got looking to this, I really think the reason they're going kind of down a wrong path at this point is because of their first missionary journey. And I think what really caused that to be a stumbling block to them was it was successful. Nothing can mess up a Christian more than being successful at being a Christian. I know that sounds like a wrong thing to say, but it is a stumbling block. I mean, when you feel really close to Jesus and everything is going great in your life and you feel real spiritual and things like that, that's going to watch yourself. I'm not saying that you should be miserable all the time to avoid that, but I'm just saying watch yourself at times like that. So, for example, you'll tell someone the good news of Jesus Christ, and they listen to you for a change. Wow. And then it seems like they believe you. That's never happened, and you have to pat yourself on the back for that one. Wow, I'm doing just what the Bible says. Or you look at the world around you, the society, and you see the sin. And you go, well, I'm not that perfect, but I'm a lot better than any of these people. I'm looking pretty good. See, we start to only look at ourselves. Look what the disciples said. After their first missionary journey, they get back. They report to Jesus everything they did, and how do they end it up? You know, even the demons were subject to us in your name. Now, what do you think word they accessed? Your name or us? Oh, yeah, us was circled and highlighted in red. Us. In other words, this success has caused them to start to feel independent. And independence for a Christian is a dangerous drug. We've had an opioid addiction in the United States for 20, 30 years, and mostly because, you know, it's just overprescribed and people just took too much of it. Now, you know, you go in. I mean, if I had my leg taken off today, they'd probably give me a baby aspirin. I don't know why. It's just the way I look. But they won't give you much. They'll give you maybe 2-3 days worth of Vicodin or something just to get you over the hump. But they don't give you a lot. Because the more you take, the more your body adjusts to it, and the more you need to get that same feeling. Until you find yourself eating 90 to 100 Vicodin a day, which actually happens, believe it or not. I can't imagine eating that much. But you see, the body adjusts to that because the body starts feeling anxious if it doesn't have that feeling. And that's exactly what happens with this independence. It makes them anxious. Anxious to prove themselves. Anxious to do more. Anxious to point the finger at themselves. Adam and Eve's first sin was what? The sin of dependence. Independence. They wanted to be independent from God. And it led to sin and anxiety. What's great about this text is Jesus confronts them immediately in love and straightens them out. And we really see that in the King James and the New King James Version. The one I just read here, where he rebukes them. He says, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." In other words, number one, you don't know the spirit that I gave you, because the spirit that you're evidencing right now is an evil one, and that's not what I gave you. And secondly, you don't know me, because I didn't come to kill anybody. Certainly not to burn to death everybody in town because they won't let us stay overnight. I've come to save these people. The destruction of independence, that dangerous drug, is found at the cross. When you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, you realize only one person could have died on that cross. When we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, we are given our own Christ, our own cross, which is that of service and is a yoke that is easy to bear. Not about us, it's about others. And when we come to the cross, we see that it's not about us. It's about the one who said, "Follow me." I thank God that he has straightened the disciples out in short order and eventually would send the Holy Spirit to them on Pentecost in full measure so they understood everything Jesus was saying. And I thank God that same spirit, the spirit he talks about this, in this text, has been given to us. So we are not ever independent of Jesus Christ in any way. But we always realize we always cling to his cross because he's the only way. In Jesus' name, amen. This time now we receive our offering.